Arise, shine, your light has come. The Lord's glory has shone upon you. Though darkness covers the earth and gloom the nations, the Lord will shine upon you. God's glory will appear over you. Nations will come to your light and kings to your dawning radiance. Lift up your eyes and look around. They are all gathered. They have come to you. Your sons will come from far away and your daughters on caregivers' hips. Then you will see and be radiant. Your heart will tremble and wide open because the sea's abundance will be turned over to you. The nation's wealth will come to you. Countless camels will cover your land, young camels from Midian and Ephah. They will all come from Sheba, carrying gold and incense, proclaiming the Lord's praises. Will you all pray with me? Lord, open my lips, that my mouth may declare your praise. And Lord, open our hearts and our ears to your word, that it might dwell richly among us. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes, friends, tomorrow Christmas is officially over. Take down the Christmas trees. The 12 days have run their course. Pipers have piped and swans have swum. Golden rings have rung, right? But the beautiful thing about the church calendar is that a new season is always beginning right after one season closes. The season of Epiphany. The light that came into the world at Christmas, the light that was growing and was so long awaited during Advent season is here. And that light is opening eyes and casting out shadows. Today's scripture readings show exactly this. The Magi, guided by the star, coming from their country to seek out the true king. Isaiah's breathtaking, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you." Epiphany calls us to wake up to the God who is here, and to wake up to how God is already working around us. In weeks to come, the theme further develops. Jesus' baptism by the hand of his cousin John in the Jordan River, the miraculous water-to-wine miracle at Cana, a sign of God's power and presence, and the child about his heavenly father's business in the temple. Each of these stories is about opening up, opening out, showing out the widening of God's mercy. We're reminded in this season, as Fleming Rutledge puts it, that God is the subject of the sentences about God's self. He's not an object of our perception. He originates our perception. He guides our perception. He corrects our perception. So this season is about seeing anew and reimagining afresh. To mark this new season and to remind us of how God is calling us back to our ministry of hope and healing and hospitality in the neighborhood, we will, and Christians all over the place have celebrated Epiphany by marking doorways. If you came in the green door, you might have noticed some cryptic math equation right above your heads looking something like this. It's sort of cryptic, it's kind of weird. We did it last year for the first time together, but people have been doing it for years and years, and it is international and ecumenical. I got pictures after we did this last season of folks traveling in Europe, and they're like, "Hey, look at the doorway in this random street in Paris. Look at this. Look at this place in Spain." It is purposefully humble and impermanent. There's a basket on the welcome table with chalk and little blessing cards that you can take this to your home and do this little blessing ritual in your own place. And there's a sort of like playful double entendre here. The CMB stands for the Latin, more Latin in the new year, Christus mansionem benedictat, which means Christ bless this house. But it also, those initials are the traditional first initials of the Magi. So it is a prayer and it is a declaration. Christ, bless this place. Christ, I already know you're working here, even here. Here is where you've arrived and revealed yourself. Here is where I'll receive you as a guest. From here, I will go out to proclaim your goodness and to share your good news. A year ago, we celebrated Epiphany at this place. I was just commenting to Matthew, and Liv showed up here on Epiphany 2024, and it was like the most amazing day to show up for the first time, because no one knew this place yet, and we weren't even meeting inside this place. It was so new that technically we weren't even allowed to be inside because we didn't have a certificate of occupancy. There was dust everywhere, and walls were still being constructed, and we put up about 25 gallons of this paint over the holiday. We had come here after a long season of being told that we couldn't stay there, and we're making a new place, unpacking and resettling together. So outside in the cold, we prayed, asking God's blessing and awareness of God's presence. And then we worked together. We painted, we wrote blessings on the wall of the godly playroom that we painted over, but they're embedded into the walls, those hopes and prayers. We set about putting on baseboards and cleaning and organizing. This was an Epiphany Ora et Labora, work and prayer. It was our first corporate activity in this place together. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you, your sons from afar, your daughters carried on the hip, and you will look and be radiant, your heart will throb and swell with joy. Epiphany 24 was a revelation of God's joy and all the possibility of a new year and a new place. It felt like we were receiving the gift of a new place to be and a commission to join in God's work of building and growing community here. I think there's some pictures of what that looked like. That was Toph's fingers were cold playing. And of course it was wet too, because what would cold be without a little wet? You can go to the next one. Yeah. Our Epiphany readings and some time at the scrap exchange. Lots of ladders. Lots of ladders. And it was so joyful that day because we had more people that wanted to paint than paintbrushes. And so it was not a lonely work to come into this place. We were receiving the gift of a new place to be, and we were reinforced in a commission to join in God's work of building and growing community here. That we might both bear witness to what we know and what we've seen about who God is and what God is up to, but also be on the lookout to be surprised by God's grace coming to us in unknown faces and unlikely places. For as much as 2024 Epiphany was light and it was joy, at its core, Epiphany is revelation, and that's not always light, and that's not always joy. Revelation means pulling back the sheet of how things really are. It's that scene in Wizard of Oz, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain sometimes. Epiphany 2021 really told that tale. You see, at the center of the Magi story are two drastically different responses to the same event. The event being the coming of Jesus, the Christ child. The coming of Jesus brings about adoration and praise from these far-flung Magi, but it brings about like Machiavellian terror from Herod. The same Christ child elicits joy, the hopes and fears of all the years met in Jesus. The little bundle held by Joseph, nursing at Mary's breast. But the coming of Jesus also brings about a regional genocide of little boys who might just match the profile of this Jesus. Herod saw these kids as a usurping threat. He said, if you can't join them, why not kill them? It is a rare and brilliant thing when a church holiday coincides with a historical event. And January 6, 2021 was one of those days. Epiphany and the January 6th insurrection will forever be linked, joined at the hip in my mind. It was kind of a Rorschach test for our country, a polarizing event in an already polarized place, a destabilizing moment revealing the ways that shattered norms were keeping trains running, and those trains were now coming off the tracks. A curtain was pulled back on our nation, revealing our violent underbelly. We've long prided ourselves in peaceful transfer of power and kind of looked down on countries that can't do that. But that was us, and we had to come to grips with that. January 6th was a wake-up call, a shining of a light on who we really are as a nation and the work to be done. Those violent and disturbing and fatal actions and images also stand as a stark contrast towards this epiphany call to blessing and opening up. And also a stark contrast to the Magi's creative nonviolent resistance. As our doorways around the world are being chalked with hopeful marks of Christ's presence and hospitality, the doorways of the Capitol were being besieged and broken and desecrated. The story of the Magi was being remembered and celebrated, and the Herod-like violent machinations of power were surging towards the Capitol. Tomorrow will be visited by kind of the ghost of Epiphany past. For some of us, that will hold a certain level of post-traumatic stress for us and for our country. Both remembering that awful day and lamenting the ways that its motives and motivators have only grown and been encouraged and empowered, I asked you to consider anew some of the questions that we asked in 2021. I looked back on that sermon and those notes, and I asked three questions for us, and I think it'd be helpful to revisit some of these things. First, how do we change our minds? How do we repent? When is the last time you've repented? When is the last time you thought you knew something but realized you were wrong and needed to change your way of thinking and living? What did or what might it cost you to do that? Consider, to welcome Christ in the new year, to love our neighbors as ourselves, will require us to repent. Not just someone else to repent, we must repent. And the work of repentance is the humble asking God for epiphanies. Repeated epiphanies, openings, unveilings, renewed clear vision of God, of ourselves, of our neighbors, of the world around us, and the courage to reorient, to change paths, to turn around and turn back to God. To be transformed by the renewing of our minds means to look into the manger and to see salvation. It means to see God's light as we leave the house each morning with an expectation that God has gone ahead of us and is continuing to work in small, slow, vulnerable ways around us. That's what it means for the manger to be our salvation, is that sort of weakness and vulnerability is the only way that God is going to work in this world. Next question. How do we join with Jesus to those who are different from us? How do we become intimate family with those who we have no business being with apart from Jesus and the movement of God's Spirit? This is a little bit of what potluck is about. It is risky when you decide to stay for potluck because you don't know where you're going to sit and you don't know who's going to be across from you. But it's a small act of trust, and those small acts of trust are down payments towards being able to trust more and better and more riskily in the future. To welcome Christ in the new year is to welcome the stranger in our midst, expecting that when we clothed, fed, visited, and welcomed the least, we've met and ministered to Christ, and Christ has ministered to us. Epiphany opens us up to the very real possibility that we have not yet joined with someone with whom our salvation is bound up with. We have not yet met these people for whom we're going to rely on to know Jesus better. So we enter into 2025 with open eyes and ears and hearts for this hard and beautiful work of making room. This is going to be really hard, especially in an environment where there's fostered suspicion and a like narrative peddled that there is not enough. To make room in a place where you're fearful of a neighbor or where it seems like there's not enough is very hard stuff. We need each other to grow in that. To offer radical hospitality means first to receive it from God. The triune God makes room for creation to participate in its own renewal. And in return, we're challenged to make room for God's continued arrival in our midst. We trust that that continues to happen. Last question. What do you grieve? What do you grieve in others? What do you grieve in yourself? Where have you seen others caught in destructive cycles, demonic influence, slavery to sin and death? Will you pray for release and deliverance? Will you be open to someone praying that for you? To welcome Christ in this new year is to stand eyes wide open, not naive to the ways the powers and principalities blind and bind. Blind us, bind us. Blind and bind those we love. It's also to remember that there is a battle going on, but it is not waged against flesh and blood. Real people, neighbors. It cannot be a battle of violence or exclusion, but towards truth with the weapons of peace. Keeping this sort of softness, this sort of epiphany openness, is so difficult. When everything around us tells us to harden down, to muscle up, to protect, or to dismiss. To lament, to seek liberation requires us to remember well and to grow in trust. We remember the ways that God has dignified our tears, has come to us in our fears, has taken care of us in our despair. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. But we also turn in hope towards a future, a possible future that seems so impossible sometimes. And it is a dawning of a new day and the vindication of those who trust in God that is bringing justice in making all things new. So friends, together, in this season of revelation, opening, blessing, hospitality, I pray that we welcome Christ in the good, slow work that he's doing among us. I pray that 12 months from now, we will be surprised and stunned at the people who we're joined with doing this work. Not just by the peace building and joy that God is reaping, but by who is here with us and who is a part of it. That we'll look around at people who have become vital sisters and brothers in this work, joined in the Spirit, to towards hope and healing and hospitality in this neighborhood. Will you all pray with me? God, we thank you for making room for us, for opening space at this table, for opening space in your very life, that we might walk with you everywhere we go, and that you go ahead of us and you surround us and you take care of us. Thanks for our homes and the ways that you bless us in our homes. Thanks for the many gifts that you give us, and ask that you make us generous and thankful and creative in the ways that we share. Lord, continue to open our eyes and soften our hearts in this new year. Thank you for all these things in Jesus' name.